Hello and welcome to the Wisden Cricket Weekly Podcast. Yes, the Ashes may be over and we're nearly in October, but the 2019 English cricket season, like Old Man River, just keeps rolling along. We've just had one of the most bonkers rounds of County Championship action in recent memory, and the next week, coming up, we've got the last round of the County Championship. I'm Yaz Rana, and with me at Lords to digest all that is the Times cricket reporter and Wisden Cricket Monthly columnist, Lizzie Ammon. Thanks for joining me today, Lizzie.
You're welcome.
Have you managed to get a bit of a break off the Oval?
Not really, no.
Still goes on. Well, we might as well start with what we just heard today at Lords from Ashley Giles. They announced the central contracts for the year ahead. I guess the headline stories there are, well, Jofra Archer got his first contract. Yeah. That was no surprise. Joe Denley only getting a white ball contract despite him being in the test side and not in any of the white ball teams.
Yeah, bit odd because he's been given a white ball contract despite not being in the World Cup squad. And he's played the last 8 test matches and not got a test contract. I mean, I guess that sort of indicates that he might not be in their long-term plans for test cricket, which seems harsh. We're just waving at Phil Tufnell. it seems harsh, but I guess you don't hand out massive central contracts willy-nilly, and they are worth a lot of money now.
But they have given him a white ball contract despite him not being the white ball team. Do you think that means that he's in their T20 plans a lot more than he was in their ODI plans?
Well, quite possibly. And he did, let's not forget, have a fantastic 2018 in the T20 Blast, didn't he?
Yeah.
100 and a hat-trick, wasn't there in one match? I think quite possibly he is in their T20 plans. Certainly over the winter for the at least for the moment. Obviously they're going to rest some people for the New Zealand T20s. So he'll be one of the senior players and probably quite important.
And he took a 3-for as well for England in a T20 I back at Sri Lanka. So yeah, he has. I guess England haven't played that much T20 cricket recently.
No.
So that must be part of it. But the biggest news is Moeen Ali is asked to take a break from Test cricket. And that's part of the reasoning behind his non-awarding of a Test contract. He has got a white ball contract. What do you make of that news?
Well, I mean, I wasn't expecting him to get a Test contract. I mean, he'd very much fallen down the pecking
order. I thought he was going to get one.
No, I absolutely didn't. Because even if he'd wanted one, I don't think he was going to get one. I mean, he's very much not the frontline spinner anymore.
But he was for so long.
Yeah, but I think it was very clear from pretty much the whole of the summer that something was not quite right at all. And Edgbaston was, let's face it, was a horror show, wasn't it? I mean, it was just horrific. I think if you're writing your 11 for the next test and the test after that and the ones in South Africa, Jack Leach is your spinner. and then you don't hand out a test contract to someone who isn't your number one spinner. And they haven't actually handed a central contract to Jack Leach either. There isn't a spinner, unless you count Joe Root, in the test contract list.
I agree, but I find it quite difficult to get my head round the rationale behind a lot of the contract. So six of the 10 contracts have been given to seam bowlers.
I think that's strategic, isn't it? Because they want to be able to manage them. So if they are on a central contract, then they get much, much more say over their workload and what they do and how they manage them. And that's clearly, or maybe I'm giving them too much credit here, but I think some of it is looking ahead 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And they very much, as she said, you know, we've got to have a battery of fast bowlers. This is what Australia did when they came here. And they had 6 of them, didn't they? And we've got to have a battery of fast bowlers. And that involves completely managing their workloads. And if you've got them on a central contract, they're totally yours to manage.
Let's talk about county cricket. Can you remember a week of county cricket where there have been so many remarkable individuals?
It was bonkers. Although, I mean, you know, county cricket's gone a bit under the radar this summer, hasn't it?
Understandably so.
For obvious reasons. But it has been another incredible season of county cricket. So many lovely little stories, you know, veterans or youngsters breaking through or teams who are much greater than the sum of their parts and then teams with loads of money doing really badly. Well, you know, that's why we love the championship, isn't it? Because it's so gloriously unpredictable.
I think we had about 9 individual performances this week that in a normal week would have been stop the press. That was one of the best performances of the season. It's all happened in 1 week. As they start at the top of the table, the ones that impacted the Division 1 title race. So Somerset started the week 8 points clear of Essex. Then they faced Carl Abbott, Liam Dawson and James Vince down at the Aegeus Bowl. Carl Abbott took 17 for 86 across the 2 innings. The best first-class match figures since the Lakers 19-wicket haul. The 1956 Old Trafford Test. He's quite good. isn't he?
Does it not make you feel a bit sad that he's not playing international cricket?
I think so.
Yeah,
he does.
Me too, yeah.
But with our county championship hats on, but great for the county championship.
Absolutely brilliant for the county championship. And it is great for people, for our young batsmen to face someone like him, like Morney Morkel. You know, they are good for... They are good for county cricket, and they're actually good for English cricket because our batsmen get to face some of the good bowlers. You know, there's a bigger debate to be had about Cole Paxton and all of that, but it is good for people to be facing that.
Yeah, I mean, Abbott has been dominant in English cricket since his arrival, and unlike Morney Morkel, who arrived at the end of his career, he joined us in his prime. It's brilliant for young players to face that, but... Do you think that with how well Abbott and Harmer, we'll get onto Harmer later, have been doing, does that who didn't really excel at test level, as part of the reason why they come here, does that say something about the overall standard of county cricket?
I mean, it possibly does, yeah. And we know that county cricket can often be very bowler dominated. You know, and Essex have prepared pitches that suit Harmer. They're perfectly entitled to do that. I mean, obviously, we have to remember that there are other issues at play within South African cricket, aren't there? And that is some of the reason why some of them choose the stability of a county contract rather than the sort of slightly shaky, you know, selection policy within South Africa. It's tricky, but I mean, it is absolutely great for Hampshire, and obviously they've ensured safety, and great for people to face someone of that quality. And he is exceptionally good, isn't he?
Not to take too much away from his performance, but I've always thought to take that many wickets in a game, you kind of need your teammates to have a bad day too. So, because to take 17 wickets, you need to bowl a lot of overs, which means that other people have to bowl a lot of overs and not take too many wickets. So if I were the Hampshire coach, I'll be wondering why others
weren't at the party.
Yeah, it was also a remarkably green pitch, wasn't it?
Like,
there's a picture that went out on Twitter before the game, so I'm not surprised that it was a low-scoring game, which actually makes James Vince's performance all the more impressive.
Oh,
it was
just so frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, he scored on a pitch, as we've said, which wasn't exactly a batting paradise. He scored 142 out of 226 Hampshire second innings runs. I'd argue there are few, if any, batsmen in England, heck, the world, who could play an innings like that. He is very frustrating. Do you think that innings will have any bearing on whether or not he features over the winter for England?
I really don't. I think there are only so many times you can keep going back to a player, aren't there? And I do think they're probably looking elsewhere. But I mean, I don't know what his average is across the season, but he has also had those games where he's looked glorious for two fours and then nicked off. You know, he has had a typical Vince innings on more than one occasion. I don't know that those things that he struggled with at test level, he's actually sorted out. He's just manages to find a way at county cricket.
It's been a really weird summer for him, because before the summer started, a lot of people thought that he'd bat in the top three for England in test cricket. And I think
because he moved up the order at Hampshire to try and give himself the best chance.
And I think he got an early season big 100 there as well. And then it was actually his World Cup performances that kind of battered himself out of a position as being talked about as a possible candidate for the top three for England against Afghanistan, Sri Lanka and Australia.
Look at the races, did he, at all at the World Cup.
It's amazing, if he scored runs in those games, he could have made it very difficult for Jason Roy to come back on the side. It's amazing how the game can change so quickly. And then down the road at Chelmsford, Essex moved 12 points clear at the top of the table with an innings victory over last year's champions, Surrey. So Dan Lawrence, a key figure in their 2017 title win, and still only 22, scored a vital 147, and Simon Harmer took a second inning 7-for. Good to see Lawrence back in the runs.
Yeah, he's a real talent, Dan Lawrence. I mean, I do wonder if he might be one of those players who will just be a prolific county player, and he might not be.
He's only 22.
I know, but he's obviously not really in the thinking at the moment. But you know, if you put together, as we've seen with Jason Roy, as we've seen with Rory Burns, you know, you churn out three or four seasons of 1,000 runs, and then all of a sudden they can't ignore you.
Yeah, I mean, and also it's not the easiest place to bat at Chelmsford. Simon Harmer, Jamie Porter, Sam Cook, they take buckets full of wickets every week.
The wickets at Chelmsford are there to help their bowling
attack. And it's no coincidence that the two sides at the top of the table are two teams that win lots of matches. They play on result pitches. And Lawrence averages over 40 with a 22-year-old at a place that's very difficult to bat in Division One, the Championship. So I wonder how far away he is from England, or at least England Lions cricket.
Well, I suspect he's still very much, you know, being scouted. Mm. He's one of the however many they scout every year, and I think it's about 200 that they have regular reports on. I'm not writing him off at all, but I wouldn't think he's on winter tours.
So how do you see next week going? So Essex and Somerset face each other at Taunton. Somerset must win to win the title to overturn that 12-point deficit.
Well, should we ignore the weather forecast?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. The weather forecast is dreadful.
Essex only need to draw, which changes the equation. It doesn't help Somerset to prepare a raging Turner, because Jack Leach is back, because there's the Simon Harmer factor, so I don't know that really would help them. It's incredibly frustrating, because Somerset have been so consistent at the first half of the season, and they were looking really good, and then they just had these couple of matches where they've really cocked it up. Mm. But isn't it fantastic that it goes down to the final week again? You know, it happens so often, doesn't it, that we go down to the right down to the wire, which makes me think that actually the 14 games is probably right in terms of, you know, culminating to a dramatic end. It would be very Somerset, wouldn't it, just to not be able to quite get over the line again. But they have already got a trophy this year.
Well, I was looking at the Somerset player statistics for the season. They're quite remarkable. So no Somerset batsman averages more than 33 in the county championship, and they could well end up winning it. But 8 of their bowlers have taken 5 wicket hauls, and they've got 9 bowlers who average under 30 and 6 who average under 21.
They have got an incredibly strong bowling attack.
To the point at which you've got England potential players not getting in their team. Yeah, Jamie Overton shows in their team.
Absolutely. And and that's fantastic. And we do know that, you know, in the county championship, a bowling attack and the depth of bowling, because it's such a long season, you have to be able to have rotation, and you have to be able to have quite a lot to be able to draw on. I think with their batting, what it shows is they're greater than the sum of their parts, really. Is there's no one player there who was what got them up to the top of the top of the division, and also a lot of them are very young. I mean, there's, even if they don't win it this year, you don't think they're going to be one of those sides that this is their chance and next year's going to be a disaster, as with some sides. You think that actually they'll probably be there or thereabouts next year again as well.
How important a role do you think Tom Abell has in that, in creating a team atmosphere where they are better than the sum of their parts in a team that doesn't have star batsman at the moment? He's quite a young guy, elevated to captaincy at a very young age.
I think what's really important, him, Tom Banton, George Bartlett, so many of them are local guys, and they play for Somerset, they play for the Badge. I know that's a bit of a cliche, but actually I think Tom being a local guy, being Somerset through and through, is really important for Somerset, and he's really growing into that role, actually. You know, he was a bit shaky when he first... He was a young captain, young to be appointed, and it had a bit of an effect on his batting when he was first appointed, but he's really grown into the role, and, you know, he's such a lovely batsman to watch, isn't he, Tom?
It's wonderful. Going to the other end of the spectrum, Darren Stevens put in one of the all-time great championship performances this week. Out of contract at the end of the season. He's been told he's not getting a contract for 2020, but something tells me that might change in the next few days. He first scored a double 100 coming in. Well, he didn't come in, but at one point, Kent were 39-5, and then he took figures of 18 overs, 7 maidens, 5-20 in the second innings to help Kent pick up a 433-run victory over Yorkshire.
Yeah.
He's 43. That is insane. How does he keep doing it? Since his 40th birthday, he scored 2,500 first-class runs at 37. He's taken 184 wickets at 20. That's ridiculous.
It's absolutely extraordinary. But I think what it is with him is he's just a smart cricketer. And as he's got older, he's adapted his game, and he knows how to take wickets, particularly. He knows what to do. I mean, he's bowling so slowly, he's nearly bowling backwards. But it's still really effective. I mean, it wouldn't be effective on completely flat decks. We know that. He knows that. But it's the double century. I was like, he must be quite stiff the day after, I think. But I think, even if he doesn't get another Kent contract, someone else will swoop in, definitely.
I don't understand how Kent could not offer him a contract off that.
I did sort of understand the reasoning of not renewing his contract, in a sense. I mean, you can't keep. You know, there has to be a point where you go, he is 43, he isn't how we build a team for the future, you know, build a successful team. But equally, he is just one player. Mm. The thing is, though, when you've been in the game that long, you're quite expensive, you know. You command a decent salary. And with budgets tight, you have to think about whether he's a luxury player and whether you are going to get the most out of him. But if he does that, I mean, he's, you know...
No-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
And Sam Billings as well, getting his second 100 in consecutive games. He's not played much cricket this year because of injury. I think a few years ago when England toured the subcontinent, people talked about him potentially being called up because he's a very good player of spin. He's not played that much first-class cricket for a guy who's 27. But he's obviously a very talented cricketer and he's never really racked up runs consistently in first-class cricket to ever really warrant an England Test call-up. And I'm not saying that he should now...
No,
but
I mean,
it's very encouraging.
The problem with Billings is that because he has been in and out, he plays IPL, which is obviously his choice, but he's been in and out of the England team. He's been carrying drinks around for the England team. He's had a lot of seasons where he's not been able to consistently just play cricket because he's been standing with England with a bib on.
Yeah.
And then so frustrating this year when he wasn't going to be in the World Cup side and he wasn't going to be in the Ashes side, he could have had a whole summer playing a lot of cricket and then he gets injured. Incredibly frustrating for him, but I think he will go to New Zealand for the T20s because I think they will want to rest one of Bairstow or Butler. I mean, they may not, but I think they will want to rest one of Bairstow or Butler. They need a keeper. He's obviously a very talented T20 player. He keeps getting an IPL contract, you know. So I think they'll take him to New Zealand for those five T20s. I think he probably is in there thinking for the World T20 next year, or at least very much kind of one of the long list of the squad, you know. Great to see him get some first-class runs. We've never really had the opportunity to see him an extended run in first-class cricket to see what he can do.
Exactly. That's a massive frustration, though, because he is so talented and he's one of those people who, if he never ends up playing a test match, you will always wonder, what if he had those nine games in the middle of summer?
He's chosen to take the IPL money and that is going to impact on your ability to get into the test team. If you choose not to go to the IPL and play those first eight rounds of county championship, you stand a better chance. You pay your money, you take your choice, don't you?
Yeah, very true. Somebody who probably will make his test debut quite soon, Dom Sibley. He's not let the England talk get to his head. He scored 1,428 first-class runs this season at 68. He averages pretty much 20 more than anyone else
in
Division 1.
And he's got about 400 more runs than anyone else in the division, hasn't he?
He gets out every one in 156 balls. And I think that's a really underrated metric when analysing openers in particular, particularly with how England's lower middle order's like. If you've got somebody who just eats up balls as much as anything else, that's really valuable.
He's got an incredibly retro strike rate, hasn't he? I mean, he's very slow.
Very 20th century.
Yes. which I think is delightful. And sheer weight of runs, I think, has made him, he's knocked really loudly on the door. And it would be odd and send out a little bit of a weird message if he wasn't a part of the squad to go to New Zealand. Now, I'm not saying he's necessarily going to be the answer. And it's also, is there a space? You know, how are we moving the people around? Rory Burns and Joe Denley have earned the right to stay there for the moment, I think.
I'd move Denley down to three. It's where he bats for Kent.
What, and then move Root down to everyone four?
Which is basically where I think then everyone is better.
Then you've got to take someone out, Jason.
Yeah, Jason and Bairstow.
So then you need another one.
So my England top seven. So yeah, so Pope comes in for me. So my England top seven is Burns, Sibley, Denley, Root, Stokes, Pope, Butler.
Pope, I think, six.
Yeah.
Wow.
Benjamin Easy. I think he's our best natural talent.
I think he's absolutely on the plane to New Zealand. I'm not quite sure what they'll do with him, but I think he, and I think Jason. Now, it's a difficult one with Jason Roy, isn't it? Because England are always quite tempted, rightly, to not ditch people too soon. But if he's not the opener, there are better middle order options, I think. So, which is harsh. Harsh on Roy, really harsh. But it's cricket, isn't it? As Ashley kept saying to us today, that's cricket.
It is what it is. People have been, people have been quite critical of his style and his aesthetic. What have you made of him when you've seen him?
I mean, it isn't a classically MCC textbook technique, but neither is Rory's, neither is Steve Smith. I mean, do we make too much of that? Mm. clearly he's churning out the runs. Now, what we don't know is how he steps up to international cricket. And sometimes people, I mean, there are lots of cases, aren't there? Sometimes people just don't. And he's obviously very good against the moving ball in county cricket, which will be, in New Zealand, the ball will move, and they've got very good, you know, swing ball, seam ball attack. What will be interesting is when it comes to South Africa, if he's there on pitches that he won't really have played on here, and whether that challenges his technique. But, you know, you only know by shoving him in there, don't you, really?
I've heard from people at Warwickshire that he's got an incredible appetite for run scoring. He really has that almost Smith-like quality of when he's in, he is not giving his wicket away. He's not satisfied with just scoring 100. I mean, he scored 2 double hundreds this season. I mean, he famously scored that 244 as a schoolboy, which is a quality that, well, I mean, I was going to ask you actually later on, but I might as well ask you now. So the Trevor Bayliss interview, lots of things came up on that, and Trevor Bayliss said that perhaps county cricket is gone soft in one way or another, and Sibley is somebody who certainly isn't.
He said lots of things. Not, I don't necessarily agree with any of them, really. Certainly not about chopping the number of counties. I'm not sure how that helps. I'm not sure how you grow a game by having fewer people playing it. But I think he's right about pitches. They aren't Test match pitches, and so, you know, you do need your first class game to be as close as it can be, really, to prepare people. I think one of the problems is because county cricket has been so bowler friendly for the last, I don't know, however many years, that if you're a top order batsman, you are going to go quite aggressive because there's a ball with your name on. So you might as well try and get as many runs as you can before that ball gets you. And that sort of changed their mindset a bit. Is, you know, I'm going to get out here, something, the ball's going to do something, and I'm just going to go for it and see if I can rack up 30 or whatever before I get out. So that has changed changed the mindset of the top order batsman. It has been incredibly hard for top order batsmen. I mean, not just in county cricket, in test cricket. It's been really, really hard, which is why it's so admirable that Sibley has got so many runs.
And he does that in the way he does.
Yeah.
Grinds down attacks.
So I think he has made himself, well, I mean, he's made himself sort of unignorable, if that's a word.
Absolutely. So at the start of the season, Lizzie, we made predictions on this podcast for how we thought the county championship
would go. Can we not
go
back to them?
No, we are. So as I mentioned about 50 times during the season, I predicted Essex would win. Who did you tip for the Tigers?
Oh, not, yeah.
Yeah. So they've lost again. So they've gone 13 games without a win.
Yeah, they have been truly woeful.
Why?
I mean, my column in this month's Wisdom was all about Nottinghamshire. It's very hard to put your finger on one thing. And now, that sort of elusive team culture, which you don't get, I think, when you just pluck people from all the different counties.
They're the anti-Somerset.
They're kind of the anti-Somerset, yeah, the anti-Worcestershire. You know, they pluck them, shove them together, and they're all incredibly talented guys. I mean, you look down the list, these are good players. Joe Clark's obviously had some issues earlier on in the season that have affected him. He said that, but, you know, fair play to him. He's started to come good towards the end of the season. Ben Duckett has just not got the runs. Ben Slater hasn't. Chris Nash hasn't. I mean, they've dropped Samit Patel at some points. Something weird has gone on. And, I don't know quite what you can put your finger on, whether it's leadership, whether it's team culture, whether it's just one of those things that you know. I mean, if you kind of look at Surrey, these are not different personnel playing for Surrey that they were last year, but it just hasn't worked this year.
So it's interesting, your point about team culture, because a lot of people will be listening and thinking, but hang on, when you're batting, you're doing one thing, when you're bowling, you're doing one thing. Cricket is a team sport, but built up of infinite individual battles.
Yeah, absolutely, but it's that thing you can't put your finger on. There's a sort of hunger, a sort of appetite, whether there's some sort of mental problems. I mean, it's not because they don't work hard enough. And they work as hard as anyone. They're not, you know, Peter Moores is a really good coach. He's a really good coach. Very few people, other than when he was with England, and I think it was thought that he was a bit intense for England. But at county level, that's not necessarily a bad thing, particularly if your side's losing. You need someone to give him a bit of a kick occasionally. So something is not right. I think some people, I'm not necessarily saying me, feel there's a bit of karma for not growing your own players. And that's not to say that they don't grow any. Mm-hmm. I think there's a very interesting point about Luke Wood. Now, Luke Wood is leaving Nottinghamshire. Luke Wood is such a good cricketer. I mean, I rave about this lad. I think he's on a par with Sam Curran. I really do.
Talk to us about Luke Wood. Well, a lot of our listeners won't have seen him.
He's leaving to go to Lancashire. I mean, he's an all-rounder, a bowling all-rounder. But I really do think he is so talented and a smart, smart cricketer. But he's been shoved in and out on loan, called back, shoved out on loan again, messed about, I think, by Nottinghamshire. And I am not in any way surprised that he's thought, they don't seem to be guaranteeing me first team cricket here. But every time he's gone on loan, he's absolutely been, you know, the standout. And that's why they then called him back. But he's going to Lancashire. I think a move is good for him. But it indicates to me some weird decision making at Nottinghamshire. They let Billy Root go. And he's
very
odd
decision.
Thriving at Glamorgan.
And he did well at Notts when he played
exactly.
as well.
And they let Ricky Vessels go. And he's been, you know, been a key part of Worcestershire. I think they just make some odd decisions sometimes. You know, it's not rocky. It's not a scientific sport, is it? Picking and who you release. And, you know, they can't give contracts to everyone. But equally, I just think sometimes some odd decisions. But they've got an incredibly talented squad. They'll bounce back, I think.
I mean, Joe Clark, I know he's obviously had a very tough season for a number of reasons. Last year, he was next cab off the rank for England. And there's a great Joe Clark stat, actually. So in the first game and most recent game of the season, Joe Clark scored 441 runs at 220, 300s and a lower score of 97. But in the rest of Notts games this season, he's got 175 runs at 10. And he's got a high score of 48.
The wheels just fell off for him.
He was left out of their side in their most recent county championship game. He was left outside for the last quarter final. So it's good to see him back in the runs and hopefully he'll feature on the weekend.
I mean, for Notts, obviously, getting to finals day, and they were dominant in that. I mean, that quarter final, they absolutely took Middlesex to the cleaners, didn't they? So, you know, winning the Blast would constitute something of a successful season, but it is odd that they are the one team to go down, given that there are other teams who've been quite rubbish too.
Yeah, so we'll go into Division Two. Lanks already up,
which means champions.
Two of Gloucester, Northants, and Glamorgan will go up, but Gloucester and Northants are playing each other. A draw and a few Gloucester bonus points between the two sides will be enough to see them both go up. Durham are the only other team in with a chance after Sussex defeat to Derbyshire. Louis Rees went full Darren Stevens by scoring a ton and taking a fifer in that game. That's all we've got time for this week's show. Thanks for joining us, Lizzie.
You're welcome.
I'll be in Taunton for the County Championship title decider on Monday, praying that it won't rain. Thanks for listening, folks. If you enjoy the show, hit the subscribe button and we'll see you soon.